to Busy Sports Day. It's been a busy sports week. And Ben Fred Fridays presented by Henderson Water Cutty. And remember, Henderson Water Cutty, protecting your rights, defending your freedom. 645-4400, 645-4400. Their lawyers available 24/7. 645-4400. See their outstanding website for any offense, stlcriminaldefense.com. Well, Ben Fredrickson, we start with the news of the day, and that means it's Game 5 in St. Louis at Enterprise Center later tonight, the Blues and the Dallas Stars. Or we can go with the first of many meetings between the Cubs and the Cardinals. So where would you like to start? I think we start with hockey. What do you think?
I think that's fair, even though it's probably better to say the hockey game will be like Saturday morning by the time it ends, considering it's another one of these 8:30 slash really starts at 8:50 games. I don't understand it. I don't really enjoy covering them. I love covering the hockey playoffs. The start times are killing the fans and also the riders, although no one wants to hear me complain about that. But at least it's a Friday, so people will stay up and watch it. But yeah, hockey is there's very few times, Dan, where I think, you know, hockey is a bigger focus than Cardinals baseball, but we're in that time now where they're on as equal footing as you're going to find, and for good reason. I mean, the Blues are knotted in a series here, a semifinal that, you know, I think people are a little nervous considering how the game went, game four went in Dallas, but I'll point out people were feeling this exact same way when they went 2-2 against Winnipeg, and the Blues were able to put the clamps down after that. So I think it comes down to, you know, finally trying to find some sort of advantage on home ice. I think it comes down to getting your best players to play their best hockey like Dallas did in game four. And really, you know, it comes down to having Jordan Binnington be better than Ben Bishop. They both have been good in this series. Ben Bishop's been outstanding, and he hasn't faced quite as many shots. But Dallas enters this game thinking they've got Binnington rattled a little bit. I mean, you can listen to their head coach, listen to Jamie Benn talk about it. They think they knocked him off his game last game, which led to, you know, the penalty against Bishop and the punch against Ben, and they think they've got him cornered here and scrambling some. I don't necessarily think that's the case, but he's got a chance to prove him wrong.
Well, we've talked about in these previews and Fridays about the St. Louis Blues and about the head coach Craig Berube. The one thing he's got at home is the final change, and that's something that he has been, as a tactician, he's been very good, hasn't he, as the head coach of the Blues in these playoffs?
Yeah, pretty much every move he's made, Dan, has worked. And I know that some of the guys don't like the line changes. Perron just came out and said it. You know, they got really tired of Hitchcock and his kind of putting the lines in a blender every game. And Yo more specifically than Hitch. Yo did it even worse. But, you know, there was kind of the sense in the Winnipeg series that they had to do something different to get Shin Schwartz fired up, and Berube made a change, and it worked. He's juggled the defenseman. He got Bortuzzo back in there for a more physical series against Dallas. He inserted Fabry, got him going, and now it's kind of what's the next move. I mean, what's the next thing to unlock? And you know, there's really no secrets between these teams now. They've seen each other a bunch since January when the Blues have been this new look team. They've seen Bishop every game. The Stars have seen Binnington. So it's getting harder and harder, I think, to find that next kind of, okay, here's a surprise that can help us. But Ruby's been great at it. So everything he's done to this part has worked. We'll see if he has some more magic left.
Well, you know, you're talking about how the fans could be nervous, and I think the Dallas fans are nervous too. They were nervous going into last game. That's the way playoff hockey is. And to me, Ben, when I look at playoff hockey, every game is its own new book, if you will, of the series, of these great books that we see. So I don't put a lot of stock into how last game went. You were on the road. You were up in the series. It got out of hand, and you regrouped tonight. And I think that's the way, if you're a fan, you have to approach it. It's a totally different game going into game number 5.
I think you're right, and I think that sign started to be planted in the third period of game 4. The Blues were outplayed in the first two. They scored the first goal on a power play very quickly, and it looked great. Tarasenko gets it in, and you think, okay, there they go. But then the Stars kind of, you know, took over the game. And if the Blues let the Stars dictate the pace and the style of play, then they're going to be playing from behind. They're going to be reacting as opposed to, you know, inserting their will on the game. And that's really what these games come down to, is who takes control of and who plays the style that gives them the best chance to win. But the Blues did more of that in the third. Now, again, you can say that the Stars were kind of laying back to protect their lead. I get that. But I thought the way they attacked, the way they you know, put pressure on the net, that was who they need to be in the third period. So I took that as a good sign. I mean, the Blues very easily could have packed it in, pulled Binnington from the goal, put Allen in there, and said, look, we're just going to move this thing forward and go after it again on Friday. They didn't do that. They showed up a strong effort. I think they gave Dallas a little taste of, hey, this is more of what you're going to see when you come to Enterprise. So I think that was a good sign. They've been very good about shaking off losses. They've been very good about not letting things spiral on them. Craig Berube said we'll be better, and that's kind of a telling phrase for him. He's only said that a few times after some pretty disappointing showings, and for the most part, he's been right. When he says that, they do come out and play a better game, so I expect that of them tonight.
Well, you also wrote in the on STLtoday.com and the Post-Dispatch this morning, and you touched upon it earlier. The question you posed is Blues goalie Jordan Binnington on the ropes. What's your answer for that when fans are listening to this?
Well, I think we say, heck no, he's not. Look at what he's done since January. But I also will entertain the idea that Dallas can make a case. And I don't disagree with that. To the Stars, Jordan Bennington's just another goalie until he proves otherwise. They've scored three and four goals against him in their past three games. They had good success against him in the regular season when they saw him, and that was, you know, since the January turnaround. So they don't think Jordan Binnington is this, you know, incredible goalie. They think he's a guy they can beat, and they think he's a guy that they can put their goalie up against and win. And that's been their, you know, they've won four out of the three games these teams have played over the course of this season, regular and postseason. Ben Bishop's been better in games that they played against the Blues, so they have confidence. And I think when they saw Jordan Binnington get fired up, they viewed that as, hey, we're getting to him. Now, it's so funny to view it from the St. Louis side, because St. Louis side goes, man, Jordan Binnington is trying to lead the team. He's trying to do something that gets a response. And you could even argue that since he skated out and gave Jamie Benn a well-deserved bop on the head and gave Ben Bishop a slap with his stick, that the Blues played better in the third. So maybe that was kind of the jolt that they needed. And he said, look, I'm trying to do something that shakes it up. We're down. Why not try something? And I can understand that reasoning, but listening to it from the Dallas side, they think, oh, we're under his skin and we've rattled him. So what's true? I don't know. I think we're going to find out in these next few games. If Binnington comes out and stands on his head, then maybe they poke the bear. If he continues to give up three and four goals, then I think I don't think they can expect to score that amount on Bishop. He's playing too well.
I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients. And this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. You've been in that locker room an awful lot here the last couple of months. If a fan came up to you and said, well, what is Binnington like after these games or in practices and the season's on the line, or he's had a good night, a bad night. Well, how would you describe him?
He's kind of like, I mean, like the hockey version of the Terminator. and it's not, Dan, it's not like, it would be kind of corny if it was like an act. And I think he turns it on a little bit at certain times, but he really is just kind of like reptilian. He's almost, and it's not, he's not unfriendly. I don't want to give that impression, but he is just pretty much cold-blooded. And I think he's almost kind of like a lockdown closer. Like, he just has this mentality of, I'm not going to, you know, gush. I'm not going to get too high. I'm not going to get too low. I'm just going to go out there and play, be a really good goalie. And he knows now that he can be and that he is. He had a great line in Dallas. I wasn't there, but my colleagues told me about it, and it was in the paper where, you know, the reason he came out and swinging at Jamie Benn was because Benn gave him a little stick tap to the I don't know what this podcast is rated, Dan, but I guess you would call it, you know, in this reference, we'll call it the stars. He got hit in the stars.
Oh, yeah, you can let it rip. Go ahead.
And so he comes out and gives Jamie Benn a little bop. And I think a lot of fans are going, God, finally someone does something to this guy. He's a total pest. And it took Bennington to come out and say, hey, you know, forget you, man. You know, if you're going to do that, then I'm going to come out and defend myself. Now, I think you went a little too far with the tap on Bishop, not because I don't think it was some major penalty, but just because it gave the Stars a power play entering the third, and, you know, the Blues needed at that point every advantage they could have. But you know, asked about it after the game, he was asked why he did that to Benn, and he kind of downplayed it. And then one of the reporters in the room goes, well, it looked like he hit you in the crotch, and Bennington goes, good eye.
Really?
And it's just like, that's who he is. He's very, very dry. He's not afraid to say things that make him sound, I think, to other people, overconfident. I think the Stars think that Bennington is full of himself. And I think they think that he is, you know, had a good month or two, and now he's acting like he's king of the world. And, you know, from that vantage point, you know, is that accurate? I don't think so. But I think they think this guy is full of himself, and we're going to take him down a size or two, and so far they can say that they've done that. Now, there's still plenty of hockey left to be played here, and Bennington has to be a factor if the Blues are going to win. He doesn't have to win the series, but these teams are so evenly matched, and they were within two wins of each other in the regular season. Their postseason record is tied at this point. This series is tied. This series is so close. These teams are so well matched that the goalie who stands on his head a little bit better be the difference. The team that has a little more success on the power play could be the difference. I don't think there's going to be one stat in this series that's so wildly different than the others. It's just going to come down to which team can be a little bit better, and he's a discussion in this.
STLCriminalDefense.com. Ben Fredrickson, brought to you by Henderson Watercutty, full service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in both Missouri and Illinois, state, federal, and municipal courts. In addition to their criminal defense practice, they also assist people facing orders of protection, probation violations, sanctions by the nursing board, and discipline by a college or university. So if you have a question about something that you're involved in, just head to their website, and it goes through it step by step exactly with that violation or what may be upsetting you, your family, whatever the case may be. STLCriminalDefense.com, 645-4400. We switch gears, Cardinals and Cubs. It's always fun when we go to Wrigley Field. Your expectations for this weekend series, 3 starting today?
I think it's great timing, considering both of these teams are playing pretty well. This is, you know, we haven't maybe paid as much attention to it as we normally have because the Cardinals have had the best record in baseball through 30 games. But the Cubs are playing very well. I don't think they have won. I don't think they have lost a series. Gosh, it's like 7 series now that they've either won, tied, or split. They've got some of their key players going. They've got Anthony Rizzo starting to gain some traction a little bit. Jason Hayward has been hitting. Contreras has been on fire. They've been playing good baseball, and I think, you know, we know the Cardinals have clearly. So a nice meeting between the right now with the two hottest teams in the National League Central. Some compelling backstory because we don't know if the hemming and hawing from this winter is going to bubble up and boil over. I know that Yadier Molina makes elephants look forgetful, so I wouldn't be surprised if it comes up at some point. I don't know that it will come up from the beginning, because I imagine something would have to kind of pry the cap off. But I wouldn't be shocked if there isn't some bad blood that shows at some point. And two really good teams. The Cardinals got a chance to rest some of their guys in the rain-delayed game last night in Washington, so they should be full go. Interested to see if Matt Carpenter can get going at Wrigley, because that was the place, as you remember, Dan, where he went bonkers last year. And it was kind of like, you know, the beginning of his – part of a key chapter, I guess I'd say, in his surge. It would be nice for him to replicate that, considering if he can start hitting, then this lineup looks that much more dangerous.
I would say the Cardinals look much more dangerous after watching Dakota Hudson pitch in the way that he pitched. Yeah. He fared a better result than he got last night in Washington. I thought he was fantastic in that game, and without a couple errors made behind him, should have been three errors committed. They gave one a hit, which was ridiculous, but he deserved a better fate last night in Washington.
Well, I'll give you credit, because the last time we talked about Dakota Hudson, I think I wasn't pressing the panic button, but I was kind of like running my finger over the top of it, wondering if maybe it's time to give Ponce more of a look or Austin Gomber. And you told me, you said, hey, you know, they're confident in him, and I am too. I think he's going to be great. But I was a little, you know, concerned by some of the early starts. But it looks like, you know, if you look at the last few starts that he's made, he's starting to lock it in. And I don't know if it was, you know, the one pitching in Washington where in front of zero people that reminded him of a minor league start that got him locked in and comfortable or what. But now hopefully he can take that on the road. He looks, you know, he's not a kid who's going to get real up and down. He's not, you know, irritable. He knows what he has to do. He knows he didn't pitch well in the beginning of the season. I think he's going to start kind of stacking one on top of the other. So that was a great, great sign. Perhaps the best thing to take out of this series, a really good series against Washington, was that he looks like he's clicking now.
I am proud to add to the website, as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. I thought your piece on Mike Shildt was fantastic. The Cardinals have 61 wins since Mike Shildt got the job on July 15th of last year. The 616 winning percentage under Shildt is second best in baseball, first in the National League. Now, players are playing. They added Goldschmidt. Obviously, you know, it's a team that has talent, but he is getting the most out of this talent. I think he deserves a lot of credit for bringing this all together and getting the Cardinals, at least initially, where they're at.
I can't agree more. I think, you know, when they made the move to promote Shildt, we saw what he had done as an interim, and we saw what the players, you know, said about him, is that we love playing for this guy. We love the communication. And I think watching him, you learn that he loves everything about the game, the modern game. He's an old school guy with a modern approach. He's not going to turn away any analytic or opinion that can make his team better. I think he's done some remarkable things, Dan, whether it's opening lines of communications with players, whether it's, you know, opening lines of communication within the organization that had been either blocked up by rust or boarded up by insecurity, whatever it was in the past. He's got things running smoothly. He's kind of given the whole engine a fine tuning, all these things are great, but if you don't win, then no one really cares about what else you're doing. And Schilt knows that too. So I thought 100 games is a chance to say, okay, 100 games, it's not a career. And, you know, other managers have had fast starts too, and it hasn't ended well. It doesn't say anything other than 100 games. But 100 games when you have the most wins in baseball is pretty good. 100 wins when you can look around the National League Central, that's just fierce. I mean, since Schilt took the job, the Cardinals have the most wins in baseball, and I think there are, like, the Brewers and the Cubs are also in, like, the top five, and they're in the division. I mean, it's just a brutal, brutal division. So having a manager who can slide the needle in terms of more wins than losses, you have to have it. And if you're giving away losses at that spot, you're not going to get where you want to go. So, you know, I think we can talk all day about the communication and the analytics and everything. But if it doesn't show up as wins, then it's probably a lost battle when you're managing the St. Louis Cardinals. So he's been doing that too. He's really checked the boxes. I know they didn't win the game in Washington, but I think he won a few more fans by his sticking up for Paul Goldschmidt. You know, we talk about Phil, and he's so, you know, he's agreeable. It's great to interview. He's good with media. But it's not to say that he doesn't have fiery bones in his body. I mean, the guy can get fired up, and he does it in the right spots. And I think the players like that about him too. You know, to make a Blues comparison, that's what the guys love about Craig Berube. He knows that he has their back, and he's not afraid to get out and ruffle feathers, whether it's barking at an official or whatnot. But I think they appreciate that over the course of a season. So he's hitting all the right notes, and he's really – it's not easy. I mean, it's funny to me that in times the Cardinals have talked in the past about having things be more fluid, you know, having more flexibility. And then recently the trend has been, well, we want to have more kind of guys that we know where they're going to play and where they're going to hit. And we want it to be more locked in because we feel like that will give guys a sense of balance. Well, that's great in theory, but look at what he's doing. He's having to kind of massage this outfield that's got a bunch of really, really fascinating, you know, phases that it can go through. And it's really harder to do that when everyone's playing well than it is when one guy stinks. That's the easy move, to take out the guy who's bad and to put in someone who might be better. It's more difficult when you've got guys who are all playing well and who can all give you different things. You know, well, do we go with Harrison's defense or do we go with Jose's bat? Or when is Dexter ready to go? When is he clear? He's played so well, we've got to get him back in there, but we don't want to put him back in there if he's not fully healthy. And what's up with Tyler O'Neill? He's had a hard time staying healthy, but his power is legit. How do we massage this? Is it time to give Ozuna a day off? I mean, he's handling all this with a steady hand. And most importantly, he's selling it to the guys. I mean, there's two different ways to go about this. One, you have to know what the right move is. And two, you have to convince the players it's the right move. And you don't let them dictate moves, but you have to make sure they're on board with it to get the best buy-in. And he's done both of those things very, very well.
I thought it was interesting. I know it's gotten a lot of play, but it was just a shot that I saw. We were actually going to go to a promo, and I went on our talk back on the boxes that we have for our microphones, and I asked our producer and our director, said if he could just hold off on that for a second. I see something. I'd like to talk about it. And it was the shot of Schilt and Molina together. And that, to me, in a nutshell, is Mike Schilt, because he does want input from the players. It's not just one voice. He wants input from everybody. And I had been explaining multiple times, all the way back in spring training, how those two have a very good relationship, very open, to where Mike encourages Yachty to come to him if he sees something. And that's gotten a lot of play, Ben. But to me, that shot embodies the way that Mike goes about his business. I thought it was really good TV, one thing, but it really showed the fans this is how Mike Schilt does it. He wants input from everyone. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I thought it was a great catch by you. And I thought it was, you know, a picture says a million words example. I mean, you can say he's a master in communication, but that image of him walking Molina through the game plan, which you narrated, that shows it. And you see, okay, this is how it's happening in real time. And I think it shows a few things. I think it highlights the respect Molina has for him. I mean, Yachty compares Mike Schilt to Tony La Russa, and you got to understand what Yachty thinks of Tony in order to know what that means to Molina. He thinks the world of Tony La Russa, so he doesn't throw that praise out lightly. And he said that for some time now, dating back to last season. And you also see, too, you know, Schilt has such a good feel for what he wants to do that he's able to say, okay, here's what I want to do, but I'm also going to have the confidence in it to maybe get a countering opinion. And also know what I want to do so far ahead of time, Dan, that I can then go have the time in the game to go walk somebody else through this. I think that's something that you have to know what, in order to get someone's opinion on something in real time, you have to know ahead of time what you want to do. You're not making up the decision as it's happening in front of you, because then there's no time to get a second opinion. So he's got things planned out ahead. He manages ahead. And then the other thing too is you have to have confidence in what you think before you can go to someone and say, tell me where I'm wrong, or push back against this, or tell me if I'm right. You have to have confidence in what you believe. And he knows that Yadier Molina has a vantage point that no one else has, no one else in the ballpark. And I think he also, you know, he's said this time and time again, I think he really values Yadier's, you know, baseball mind. I mean, Yadier is not the most talkative guy. You know, when it comes to us in the media, he's, you know, easy to deal with, but he's not going to sit there and go long on what he thinks about a certain play necessarily, but he will to Schilt, and Schilt knows the way that brain works, and he wants it to be part of his team. He wants it to be engaged and active. And I think it's a sign of respect, but it's also a sign of, hey, this might make us better today. And I think that's literally what I've seen Schilt do since he got the job, is he's basically, I use this term, maybe overuse it, but I use the term weaponized, and he's kind of weaponized every piece of the organization that can help him. It's not a selfish thing. It's a really smart thing. If you've got someone in the organization who can help your team, but they feel like you don't care what they think, or you're not going to pay attention to them if they do give information, or if they give valuable information and it's then ignored, then they're going to stop. And I think he's really gone around the whole organization, kind of turning on faucets, if you will, and opening pipes that have turned out to help him. That's how it should be. This organization, and he had a great conversation with me at spring training when I asked him about Jim Edmonds. And I said flat out, I said, Mike, Edmonds is loving being around this team. I said, but it takes confidence for you to allow that to happen, because, I mean, when people see Jim Edmonds with the Cardinals, they go, oh, my God, could he manage the Cardinals one day? Is he going to be a coach? What's the plan? I mean, people get excited about Jimmy. It's natural. He's a Cardinals Hall of Famer. And Schilt looks at his hat, you know, points to the Cardinals logo and goes, if I have someone around me that can make this better and I don't take advantage of it, then I'm not doing my job. And I just thought, yeah, that makes a ton of sense. But it's easier said than done, and he's doing it.
Final question. What do you think it's going to be like when Chris Bryant gets to the plate after what happened in the offseason with his comments, Yachty's comments, Heather's comments? What do you think it's going to be like?
Well, I don't know what's going to happen. It would be interesting if it was here in St. Louis first. I imagine he'll have some hearty boos waiting for him when he comes to St. Louis. My one tip to KB, though, probably don't go for the Yadier Molina shin guard tap. Give Phillips a call, give BP a call, and see how that goes, and just maybe stay away from it. Maybe just a subtle head nod.
Yeah, I think that's probably right, because the last time this happened with our man Brandon Phillips, we had a good old brawl. That was fun. I miss
yeah,
those days.
When's the last time you called a good old fight?
That was probably the best. Back in the early 2000s, I can't remember who it was. It was Bautista with Tino Martinez. That was a pretty good one. Tony Dusty barking back and forth at each other was always fun in Chicago. But, you know, baseball doesn't have really a good old fight. You know what I mean? We get the benches clear and the bullpen guys come in and everybody separates. But, hey, you know, let's get it old school here. It could be a little fun here at Wrigley this weekend.
It's not a fight till someone gets punched in the face like Bautista did. Who was that? The Rangers. Was it Odor?
Odor, yeah. Yeah.
No, I kind of call baseball fights. They kind of remind me of those middle school dances where you just kind of everybody just kind of goes and awkwardly shuffles around one another because you don't really know what you're supposed to be doing and you're all nervous. Nobody really wants to dance. They just kind of want to act like they're dancing. That's really a baseball fight. So maybe if things fall in the right way, that will happen this week, and hopefully not. But Chris Bryant, just go in and take your cuts. Don't try to make peace at the plate. Don't expect that Yadier Molina is going to let it go because he doesn't let anything go, and you're just going to have to live with that for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I think that sums it up. But it always should be fun here at Wrigley Field. And, Ben, we always love doing these. It's presented by our good friends at Henderson and Watercutty. And next week we'll catch up in person, more than likely at Busch Stadium, as we get set for another Ben Fred Friday a week from today. Thanks, Ben, as always.
Sounds good, man. Talk soon. Have a good series.
I am proud to add to the website, as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again, and really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.